Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Today's world doesn't settle for, quote-unquote, just believe, right? And that's a good thing. Apologetics equips us to meet this generation with thoughtful answers that satisfy both heart and mind. And when truth is explained with love, it resonates far, far deeper. All right, so that is what we're talking about today. Elder Obed Ngandu joins us once again for the conversation. My elder, good morning. Welcome back to the program. Elder, are you on the line?
Yes, good morning. How are you today?
Doing very well. Thank you so much for joining us. We're happy to have you once again for yet another conversation on apologetics. Would you please open for us in prayer?
Okay, so we pray. Our Father who is in heaven, we are grateful yet again to allow us to sit at your feet, to listen to you.
All right. It looks like we're having a little bit of trouble with our network yet again. Not sure what the problem is, but let's try and connect with the elder once again. We're getting into a conversation on the importance of going deeper into understanding the things that we believe, not just to accept, just believe, right? And we know that we must believe, we must have faith. A lot of things that we accept have to be by faith, but it also helps when we go a little bit deeper and actually be thoughtful in the way that we answer the questions that are on people's minds and hearts. We want to understand the reason behind some of our principles and our beliefs, and just answering questions about our existence, about who we are, why we're here, what God's desire is for our lives, and all of that. Yeah, it looks like our network is fighting today. Fighting. So let's keep trying to connect with the pastor, with the elder, I beg your pardon. But as we're trying to do that, please connect with us on +27734703520. Y'all are quiet today, right? Y'all are so quiet. What's going on? Let me know what you think about this conversation. Is there a question maybe that you have had, and maybe when you were much younger, or maybe it's a question that's still on your heart even today, but you are afraid, or you know, you don't feel safe to share that question, to ask that question, and to get the answers that you need for whatever that question might be. Anything that's on your mind, any dilemma. For me, I've talked to a few people about, you know, the story of Jephthah it's in the Old Testament. I'm not sure what book it is. I can't remember. Is it Judges? I can't remember what book it is. But where he promised that he would sacrifice the first thing that came out of his house when he went back home after some battle, if God would come through for him. And when he got home, his daughter ran out to meet him. Oh, that story breaks my heart, because he decided to honor his commitment to sacrifice the first thing that came out of that house. Yo, that story does not sit well with me. And there's a few others that don't sit well with me. I understand the man swore an oath and all of that, and he had to honor his word, but come on, right? I don't know. I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not comfortable with that story. And I've not yet heard anyone explain to me in a way that satisfies that, in a way that makes me say, all right, that makes sense. I've not yet heard that explanation. To me, that story just feels like it'll forever be a heartbreaking and just unsatisfactory story. That's not an ending I'm comfortable with. But anyway, we're still trying to connect with our elder. He says that he's having some challenges with his network. So let's see. Let's try one more time and hopefully we'll be able to get through. My elder, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, now I can hear you.
Okay, we can hear you clearly as well. All right, so let's get into it. Hopefully the network will hold steady for the rest of this conversation. What are some of the big questions that young people are asking about God today?
So the young people are asking about God today. Is God real? Okay. Mm-hmm. And we can't run away from such questions. And so we may respond and give the answers such as we see God in the acts of love, mm-hmm, from our fellowship. Okay, we see God in nature. We may not be able to explain certain things that we see in nature, and for us that points to a creator, a designer who is beyond our imagination to comprehend. Then we see God in answers prayers. Some of us have experienced the answer to prayers, and then we begin to understand and realize that this, it's not a coincidence. God does really answer prayers.
Yeah.
We see God in miracles. Yes, there are other questions. The cardinal questions that the young people ask is, why does God allow suffering and evil?
Yes.
You know? And this is a very pertinent question. It's not just for young people. It's for everyone. And so we believe God does not use force or compel circumstances to favor his children.
Mm-hmm.
Evil is a revelation of how bad sin is. God suffers with his children. In Isaiah 43, verse 2, he says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you.
Mm.
And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. Elsewhere, he says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength.
Mm.
Annie Johnson Flint wrote a song. This song touches my heart. Every time I go through challenges, I go through this song. And Annie Johnson, who suffered so much until she died, she wrote this song. He gives more grace as our burdens grow greater.
Mm.
He sends more strength as our labors increase. To added affliction, he added his mercy. He multiplied to multiply trials, he multiplies peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, the day is half done. When we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. Fear not that thy need shall exceed his provisions.
Mm-hmm.
Our God ever yields his resources to share. Lean hard on the everlasting availing. The Father both thee and thy Lord will upbear. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power no boundaries, none unto man. For out of his infinity riches, in Jesus, he gives and gives and gives again.
Amen.
The other questions, such as, is God loving and inclusive of everyone, regardless of race, gender, or religion? Yes, he does. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 28, he says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female in, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So
Amen.
These questions and many, many other questions that the young people are asking, they have answers in the Bible.
Mm.
Some of them may not be very straightforward, but we can still find answers that will satisfy the young people's questions.
Yeah.
And so we shouldn't run away from such questions.
Yeah, yeah. Beautiful, beautiful. Love that. Now, how does apologetics help to make faith relevant in a skeptical culture? Everyone thinks they know better. People are looking down on Christianity. A lot of mocking happening of our faith. How can we continue to make our faith relevant even in this world that looks down on it?
Okay, so apologetics, it engages, not dismisses doubt, okay?
Rather than
telling skeptics to just believe, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Apologetics takes their questions seriously. It treats intellectual inquiry as a part of faith, showing that you don't have to abandon reason to believe in God, okay? Number two, it connects faith to real-world issues. Apologetics addresses big questions like suffering, morality, science, and identity that matter deeply to people today. This makes faith real relevant and not detached or outdated.
Mm.
It builds credibility in a culture of mistrust. With so many claiming truths in competing ways, apologetics offer a coherent worldview that stands up to scrutiny. This helps rebuild trust, especially among those disillusioned by religious hypocrisy or shallow answers.
Mm,
mm. Number four, it equips believers to speak with confidence and compassion. Young people especially want to talk about faith without sounding judgmental or ignorant. Apologetics helps them to do that with humility and clarity.
Mm.
Then finally, it shows that faith is both rational and experiential. Apologetics does not replace faith. It doesn't replace faith. It complements it. While it offers intellectual foundations, it also points to the lived experience of God through beauty, justice, love, and transformation. In short, apologetics helps faith make sense, not just spiritually, but intellectually and culturally. It's not about winning arguments, but inviting real conversation.
Yes, yes. Beautiful. Now, should every Christian be an apologist in some way, do you think? Or should some of us just, it's better if we just keep quiet and listen to the grown-ups talking?
Okay, my take, this is my personal take, and in my opinion, I think that every Christian should be an apologetic.
Okay.
Every Christian should be able to give reason why they believe in what they believe.
Okay.
And in a way that that is not judgmental, in a way that does not make them look like they are holier than others, in a way that will reflect Christ in conversations to the glory and honor of God. So for me, I believe that every child of God who has accepted Christ as their personal savior is supposed to be unapologetic.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. I think for some of us, I think like we talked about this yesterday, we have this fear of being caught with a question that we don't have an answer to. And we're so afraid to say, hey, I don't know. Let's do some deeper research on that. And so I think, and maybe there's also laziness attached to that. And sometimes it might also be just being, some of us are comfortable with what we don't know. So we don't even bother to delve deeper to try and understand. We're just comfortable to say, okay, I don't know why this is the way that it is, but I just accept it. So sometimes if we had to be interrogated on those things, hey, we'd rather just stay away. But that's an interesting point that you make, that we should in some way, especially if we consider that it's not about winning debates, but it's about interrogating our faith and really getting a deeper understanding of our beliefs. What do you think makes the Christian worldview compelling compared to other belief systems? And there's so many of those belief systems. What's so special about ours?
Okay, so before I address that one, I just wanted to follow up your statement.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned something about being lazy.
Yeah.
You know, my conviction as a person is that a child of God should be a critical thinker.
Mm-hmm.
A child of God should never be lazy to think,
mm-hmm.
because God calls us, he created us to be critical beings,
yeah.
to be able to analyze things and to be able to answer. And where you don't know, you don't lose anything by simply saying, this one, I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
But I think I can follow up by either research or by following it up with those that know better.
Mm-hmm.
We are blessed, to be honest, we're blessed as a church in that we have additional light. Which
yes.
once you know, the Bible is not, it's not for a grade one. When I say for a grade one, I mean it's not for someone who has not really put their mental, they have subjected themselves to mental torture.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
The Bible requires you to pray, yes, but it also requires you to think through. It's not a novel. Which you can read absent-minded. No, it's something that requires thought to it. And for God's children, we need to learn to stretch our minds
mm-hmm.
to a point where it doesn't hurt to stretch your minds, but you are not correctly representing God when you are lazy.
Yes.
So now, now talking about our worldview, the Christianity worldview, you know. Mahatma Gandhi, not Mahatma Gandhi, but the father says, I should have been a Christian.
Uh-huh.
Okay. When I read through the documents, when I read through the scriptures, it makes a lot of sense if it wasn't for Christians. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So the issue that is there for me is that, you see, this issue that we are addressing is not about intellectual debate. I think that's one thing we should run away from.
Okay.
It's really not about how good am I in terms of being able to interpret scripture.
Mm.
Scripture, yes, is loaded. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when you compare our scripture, when you compare scripture in terms of religion, you notice that there's so much relevancy in our scripture. Mm-hmm. But the debate can only be won if we can start living as we profess. You know, it's a different issue when we talk about thou shalt have no other gods before me. When I'm living that, okay, mm-hmm. when I am in a situation like Daniel, where he says, look, you guys, I respect the king. The king has authority and I have no issues with that. But when it comes to my God, okay, I will not bend. Mm-hmm. And so here is a person who they even, you know, the Bible even says that, you see, they could not find a fault apart from the fact that he was so connected to God. Yeah. The only fault they could find was his relationship with God. Hey. And so if they wanted to pin him down, it was on the premises of his relationship with God. And when you look at this argument, this king, this heathen king, even prays for Daniel. What makes this gentleman prayed to God to God for Daniel is because he saw God in Daniel. Mm. He actually saw that there's something here about this guy that I can actually talk to his God, and his God is able to save him. What makes the king to run to the den of lions early in the morning, believing that he even calls out, "Did your God save you?" What makes him believe that is because he'd seen something different in Daniel. So when people begin to see something different in us, when we live what we talk, then people will be convinced that truly this is not a story. This is not just a thing put together for people to believe, but yeah. This is a serious issue. And then people who are believing in it, you will see that a lot of other people will join Christianity. But as long as we are talking about prosperity gospel, long as we are talking about all these other things, people will say, I can be a Muslim. Yeah. Uh-huh. You see, and after all, Muslims are richer than Christians.
Sure. All right. And now, how can we answer tough questions without becoming defensive or dismissive, which is, I think that's difficult to avoid. Is it possible to avoid it altogether? Can we answer these questions and allow people to interrogate sometimes disrespectfully even? Can we do that without becoming defensive?
Yes. Yes. And probably that's one of the points that I was raising when I was talking about what apologetics does. You see, it allows us to be interrogated in a way that we should not feel intimidated. I think that's key. For me, as God's child, I should not be intimidated when I'm facing people who are going to ask me why for example, I'm just giving an example, why I don't eat pork. I should not start wondering what to do, how to answer. No, I should just be able to understand to give a reasonable answer to such questions. If you came to me and says, "You look, it's just a minority of people that go to church on the Sabbath. The rest of the people go to church on Sunday. You guys are lost." Okay, I should not be quick to say, "No, it's you who are lost." Mm-mm. I should not be able to say, "You guys worship the mark of the beast." Mm-mm. I should be able to say, "Look, logically speaking, shall we look at the way God created? He created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, right? And he rested on what? On the seventh day." Mm. So the seventh day is the day of rest. Do we believe, for example, that there is Easter Sunday? Yes. Why do we believe there's Easter Sunday? It's because that's when Christ resurrected, right? We also believe that there's Good Friday, right? Yes, because that's when Christ what? Died. Mm. So between Friday and Sunday, which day comes in between the two?
Yeah.
Then if people would say it's Saturday, yeah. Then I'm like, okay, then I'm correctly believing that the seventh day is Saturday, because that's how it follows. Because logic follows that he died on the preparation day.
Yes.
And then it says on the Sabbath morning, because it was the Sabbath morning, they did not take the perfume to the tomb. They waited the following day, which was the first day of the week, to take the perfume. And that's the day he resurrected. That's what scripture are saying. So when we argue like this, we are not being defensive, we are not being arrogant, we are simply stating the truth as it were without sounding acrimoniously.
Yeah.
So my point is, yes, there is possible to argue. It's possible to defend our truths without being defensive, without being arrogant.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. Well, I think we can end it there for today. Tomorrow we connect one last time for our final conversation. Thank you so much for joining us, my elder.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
All right.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
That there was the voice of Elder Ngandu speaking to us about strengthening our faith through apologetics. Now it's time for us to get into our closing devotion for today with Pastor Mazuba. We're just trying to get him on the line so that we can get into our lesson for today under the subject, Does Jesus Care? My pastor, good morning and welcome back to the program. Pastor Mazuba, can you hear me? Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
Hello, Pastor. It looks like we are really having some network challenges today with a number of our guests. But let me hand over to you now to just pray for us and please lead us into our devotion for today.
Thank you. Shall we pray, God our Father, may you lead us out this morning. We can do nothing without you. So may you come to our help. May your will be done as we forge ahead in today's devotion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, friends. Like as we have always shared throughout this week, we are looking at the theme that says, Does Jesus Care? One would wonder, what does it really mean whether Jesus cares? We live in a world where there are sicknesses. We live in a world where people do not have enough. We live in a world of negligence. We live in a world where so many people amass wealth at the expense of the poor. We live in a world of death. And therefore, we have every reason when we lose our dear friends, our partners, one may ask himself a question, does really God care? Is he concerned with me? Yes, God does care. Our text of consideration this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. I'll read from the New Living Translation Bible. And it says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. What an assurance. God was speaking to the children of Israel when they were in captivity. He gives them a word of hope. He gives them a word of encouragement. He tells them there was no reason for them to be afraid and to fear of anything, for God himself was with them. And he gives them an assurance and he says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. Do not be discouraged. Do not be overwhelmed by many troubles and trials of this world, for I am your God. What else can someone need? When God himself, our maker, our creator, gives us this assurance and he says, I am your God and I will be with you. And he says, I will strengthen you. In trials, he will strengthen us. In hard times, he will strengthen us. In circumstances beyond our control, he will strengthen us. And then he says, I will help you. There's no any other person that can give us help in this wicked world except God. Friends may be there, but when times are so hard, they may desert us. Relatives may be there. When things are so hard, they may desert us. And yet God says, I am indeed a friend, and I will not leave you, and I will help you. He says, I will uphold you with my right hand. And he says, with my victorious right hand. God is so powerful. He can never be overcome by sin.
Amen.
With this assurance that God is going to uphold us. What mountains, friends, are you climbing that sometimes make you to get discouraged? He is the God in the mountains or on those mountains. He is still the same God in the valley. He's the same God in sorrow. He's the same God in happiness. In adversity, he's still our God. And in happiness, he's still our God. What a loving Father and God we have. Before we wind up our devotion for this morning, a story is told of someone that had passed through so many hard times in his life. He prayed to God, and God gave him an assurance that he made his prayer. And after giving him this assurance, he was looking for physical help. He was looking to see God physically coming to help him. And so God whispered to him, "I am with you. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. I will uphold you with my right hand." And so as he was walking, it is reported that he was walking in the desert, in the sand. And as he was walking, when they started walking together with God, as he looked back, he saw two pairs of footprints, and he knew God was with him. At some point, he stopped seeing two pairs of footprints. In the desert, he only saw one pair of footprints, and he felt so discouraged, feeling that God had left him alone to walk alone when God had promised to be with him. And as he walked, he got so tired, so discouraged. The devil hammered him to challenge him that, "Where is your God that you have been praying to?" And as he was almost getting discouraged and giving up, he heard a voice speaking to him, "I am God. Don't be afraid." And then he speaks and says, "Lord, when I was passing through those hard times in my life, why did you neglect me? Why did you leave me alone?" And the voice whispered to him, "That pair of footprints that you are seeing, it was not you who walked. It is me, God, who walked."
Amen.
And then he says, "How did you walk alone?" And God tells him, "That time that you had so many problems and you could not walk, I had to lift you up in my hands and I had to do the walking." And that's the time that he realized that truly the trials and problems that he had passed through, he would not have endured them without God. And therefore, this morning, I say to you, my dear brother, my dear sister, whichever country, whichever part of this world you are listening from us, I'm saying you are not alone. When you feel discouraged, there's a God who is by your side.
Amen.
Whatever trials and challenges you may be passing through, there's a God who is by your side. When you feel you cannot walk anymore, that's the time that God comes and lifts you up to uphold you with his right hand, that you may not feel discouraged. Even if trials and problems were to come, do not give up. We have a God, we have a Savior who understands what you are passing through. He went through. What challenges are those that you feel that God cannot answer? And yet he went through, and yet he was found without sin. I speak to you a word of hope. I speak to you a word of encouragement. Whether you are mourning, you have lost a beloved one, whether you have lost your employment, whether there's nobody else to encourage you, get encouraged this morning that you serve a God who understands your situation, and he's ready to walk with you, to lift you up, to dust you up of that dust that the devil, when he knocked you down, he discouraged you. When trials and problems come, do not change the captain. Let still Jesus remain the captain. When storms in your life arise, do not change, and don't let those problems eclipse the master. But let us still pray that Jesus may join you in those storms. And when Jesus joins you, the picture is changed. You will not see those storms in your life. Instead, you will see a master eclipsing those problems. This world needs people that appreciate, This world needs people that are highly educated. This world needs people that can fill up the economies of this world. And that may declare you to be redundant, of no use in this world where people appreciate one another. Do not give up. There's a God who will not declare you to be redundant. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for your future. He has a plan for your family. He has a plan for you as an individual. I therefore pray, get encouraged. Does Jesus care? Yes, he cares. When there's no one to help you, he will come and take care of your life. May you be blessed this morning. That is my prayer. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Please pray for us in closing.
Our loving Father, we want to thank you this wonderful morning for speaking to us in such a manner like this one. May your will be done. Bless us and us as we continue with the activities of this day. Our friends who have been moderating this program, I commit them into your hands. Bless them as they continue moderating for other programs that have been lined up for this day, that are there to edify us and to enhance the preaching of your word. Bless them, bless their families, and be with us all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. We'll connect again one final time for this week tomorrow, same time, same place. God bless you.
Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.